Radio Prague News.
Prime Minister Petr Nečas says the death of Muammar Gaddafi proves the crimes of dictators do not go unpunished. The Top 09 party will nominate Foreign Minister Karl Schwarzenberg for president at the weekend, the daily Hospodarske Noviny reports. And a monument to Czechoslovak legionnaires who died in Russia fighting the communists in 1918 has been unveiled in Chelyabinsk. Prime Minister Petr Nečas addressed the death of Muammar Gaddafi on Thursday afternoon, referring to it as an act of justice. In a statement, the Prime Minister said that the day would be a symbolic milestone in the difficult path of the Libyan people towards freedom and evidence of the fact that the crimes of dictators against their people would not go unpunished. Mr. Nečas added that the key element for the successful development of Libya would now be adherence to human rights, lawful punishment of the perpetrators of injustices, and security. Foreign Minister Karl Schwarzenberg is set to become the first official nominee for president at the weekend, when his Top 09 party will nominate him at its congress in Hradec Králové. Mr. Schwarzenberg himself has said in the past that he would only participate in direct popular elections. He told the daily Hospodarske Noviny he would only tell the Congress whether he will be really willing to run under the current conditions of parliamentary elections. A leading Top 09 member told the paper that in part the reason for the early nomination was deteriorating relations between the party and President Václav Klaus, saying it is more difficult to attack a presidential candidate. The next Czech president must be chosen by early 2013, either by direct or indirect election. A monument to Czechoslovak legionnaires who died in Russia fighting the communists in 1918 was unveiled in Chelyabinsk on Thursday. The ceremony was attended by an official delegation and several hundred locals. An earlier memorial to the 262 dead and missing soldiers had been erected privately by local people, but was destroyed under the Soviet regime. Chelyabinsk was the scene of the Czechoslovaks' initial revolt against the Bolshevik authorities, which led to their well-known march to return home eastward. More than 4,000 of the 60,000 legionnaires who fought in Russia died there. A number of memorials in Siberia commemorating the soldiers have been reconstructed since the fall of communism. In sports news, the Czech football champions Viktoria Plzeň lost 2-0 against football giants Barcelona on Wednesday in their third match in Group H in the Champions League. Plzeň have only 1 point in 3 games from a draw with Bate Borisov, while Barta and AC Milan will head to the knockout stage. Now turning briefly to the weather, conditions over the coming days are expected to be mostly cloudy with scattered showers and daytime highs of around 8 degrees Celsius. My name is Christian Falvey. That's the end of the news.
You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's program, the government will not name a winner in a controversial eco-tender worth billions of crowns. We'll look at why some of the country's museums have tightened security measures. In Panorama, military history buffs are invited to take their pick from the army's warehouses. And we'll end, as usual, with another Czech lesson. All that coming your way, so please do stay with us. The Czech Prime Minister Petr Nečas has announced his government will not name a winner in a multi-billion public tender to clean up the country's old environmental damage left over from the communist days. The Prime Minister made the announcement on Wednesday after Finance Minister Miroslav Kalousek refused to back the lowest bid in the tender, saying the price was less than convincing. Pavla Horáková reports.
56.8 billion crowns. That's how much the Czech branch of the Danish company Marius Pedersen Engineering asked to be paid for cleaning up over 500 sites around the country polluted before 1992. Even though price was the single decisive factor in the tender, Finance Minister Miroslav Kalousek refused to recommend that the lowest bidder be awarded the government contract.
The overall price consists of 3 parts. First, there are costs charged by the subcontractors of the bidder. Then there is the cost of money. The bidder would first finance the operation itself, and the government would pay it back with interest. In my opinion, both those prices were reasonable. Nevertheless, the level of the risk surcharge took me by surprise. It would practically cancel out the advantage of the contractor taking all of the risk upon himself.
While the decision was welcomed by the Civic Democrats and their coalition partner Public Affairs, Marius Pedersen Engineering has expressed disappointment. Sales director Pavel Borůvka.
Of course, we are very sorry because the effort and money we invested in the process was quite significant. It is a pity that rather than objective criteria, political decisions were taken into consideration.
Prime Minister Petr Nečas, who says he has always had doubts about the eco-tender, has suggested a possible future direction.
One way would be to set a fixed price, parcel up the deal into individual cleanup projects according to regions, type of environmental damage and urgency, or even a combination of all three factors. But this will need to be discussed by the government. Let's not jump to conclusions now.
Critics, including the anti-corruption watchdog Transparency International, repeatedly slammed the deal for lack of transparency and a great corruption risk. Czech environmental organizations are also suggesting the tender should be broken down into smaller parts in order to allow more competition. Before a final decision is made, Finance Minister Miroslav Kalousek says partial clean-up operations will continue nevertheless.
We will carry on the way we have so far. Old environmental damage has been gradually removed for 17 years now. It has cost a lot of money and it's going to cost a lot more. This has been an honest attempt to find a way to do it quicker, cheaper, and more efficiently. The bidders had an opportunity to submit an offer that would convince us, but unfortunately that did not happen. So we have no other option but to carry on the way we did before.
The other two finalists in the bid were Geosan Group, which offered 57.8 billion crowns, and Environmental Services, part of the Slovak financial group JNT, which offered 65.5 billion. The firms will have 15 days to raise objections against the government's decision.
Pavla Horáková with that report. Now let's take a closer look at a spate of thefts from museums across Europe. Thieves recently broke into a museum in the northeast of the Czech Republic, boasting a magnificent display of hunting trophies, and took what they believed to be a rhino horn. Although this particular horn happened to be fake, the burglary was the latest in a series of similar incidents that have occurred around Europe. The police suspect it might be the work of an international gang making profit from rhino horns, which are in demand for their alleged medicinal properties. Jan Richter has the story.
The latest case occurred in the Chateau of Napajedla in the east of the Czech Republic, where staff last week discovered the theft of several items featured in an African-themed exhibition. The police have not confirmed that horns were among the stolen artifacts, but the exhibition did feature a stuffed rhino. Several items at the exhibit were on loan from the zoo in Dvůr Králové, famous for its breeding program of white rhinos. Jana Myslivečková is the zoo spokeswoman.
Our zoo has tightened security measures. We have a 24-hour security service and the most precious animals are under close surveillance.
Earlier this month, thieves also broke into a chateau in Linhartovy, a small village in the northeast of the country, which boasted a private collection of hunting trophies, including a rhino. This time, however, the thieves only took a fake rhino horn. But in June, antique rhino horns worth millions of crowns were stolen from a museum in Usov in the same region. Czech authorities estimate that hundreds of rhino horns are part of museum collections across the Czech Republic, mostly brought to the country by aristocrats in the 19th century from hunting expeditions to Africa. Following a rising number of these cases in the Czech Republic, Germany, the United Kingdom, Sweden and other countries, the Czech authorities have asked all institutions with rhino horns in their collections to exercise extra caution. Stanislav Brunslík is the spokesman for the Czech Culture Ministry.
We have registered only one case of rhino horn theft in an institution directly under our administration, which happened in the National Agriculture Museum. We have issued instructions for these organizations to pay much more attention to security and make sure that the items are safe, even if they are lent to another institution.
The European Union's Criminal Intelligence Agency, Europol, attributes some of the recent cases to an Irish criminal gang. But Europol spokesman Søren Pedersen says other criminal groups might have been involved too.
We can't say that every single rhino horn theft from now on or earlier can be linked to these people. I think also other people have identified that the value of these horns can be extremely high. But it seems that these Irish criminals have been very good at identifying horns all over Europe. And so far it's correct, it's mainly been Central Europe, Northern Europe. But now also there's also examples of one theft and one attempt in Hungary.
In some Asian countries, especially in China, rhino horns are in high demand due to their alleged medicinal properties. They are believed to cure a number of illnesses, from fever to cancer, and they are also considered a potent aphrodisiac. Although no curative properties have been scientifically proven, illegal trade in rhino horns is flourishing, and they sell for thousands of dollars on the black market.
Jan Richter with that report. A reminder that you're with Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, where we now look at a huge garage sale organised by the Czech military and why Russian Tsar Peter the Great is not very welcome in Karlovy Vary. Would you like to own a tank, an army bus, or an ancient camera produced for the Warsaw Pact in East Germany? Nothing could be easier. The Czech army is organising what must be the biggest garage sale in the country, and military history buffs can take their pick, depending on the size of their backyard. In the past 20 years, the army has been downsized and has been selling off not just real estate, but military equipment from the Warsaw Pact era, which is no longer of any use. A military wellness facility near Lipno has been put up for sale for 45 million crowns. A Tatra truck is available for 130,000, a Praga V3S for 30,000 and a Soviet-made off-road for 20,000. Military cameras are available for just 100 crowns apiece. Army warehouses are bursting at the seams with property that is no longer of any use to anyone but collectors. And the army, which operates on a slashed budget, is hoping to raise approximately 2 billion crowns from the sale of spare parts, old military artifacts and property. Not unexpectedly, sales are slow, boosted only by the Czech passion for DIY and the fact that the army is offering spare parts for old Škoda cars, which you can still meet on Czech roads. Josef Lachman is in charge of the sales project.
We are offering military vehicles without any papers or guarantees. Some vehicles may be damaged, so buyers need to inspect them closely, and the article goes to the highest bidder. We sell a wide variety of military equipment, from cameras to spades.
Military history buffs are intrigued, but they criticize the fact that the army has been slow in putting old and unwanted equipment up for sale. In the course of years of disuse, much of it has gone to rust. Not so an old military bunker, which is said to be in good condition and a bargain for the price of just 2 million crowns, a tank training facility or fortification tower. You never know when they may come in handy, and the army says the price is right. Councillors in the West Bohemian town of Karlovy Vary have a new headache after fending off an invasion of Russian language signs put up for the town's growing number of rich Russian residents. It has now been asked to approve the erection of a life-size bronze statue of the Russian Tsar Peter the Great. The Russian community has said it would organise a charity ball to collect money for the statue to be put up next year on the occasion of the 300th anniversary of the Russian Tsar's visit. Now, although Peter the Great had no hand in the 1968 Russian-led invasion of Czechoslovakia, he may find it hard to return to a warm welcome. Deputy Governor Jiří Kolšák is fiercely opposed to the plan, saying Karlovy Vary had already acquired the reputation of being a Russian town, and the statue of a Russian Tsar in the town centre would only support that widespread perception. I would be ready to approve such a plan if a statue of Czechoslovak President Tomáš Garrigue Masaryk was unveiled on Moscow's Red Square, he said. To make matters worse, the statue of Czechoslovakia's beloved President Masaryk, which stands in the centre of Karlovy Vary, bears a marked resemblance to Lenin, which makes Russian tourists crowd around him to take holiday snapshots. Officials say they would have no argument against a statue of Peter the Great being placed in one of the town's parks or alleys on the suburbs, where he is believed to have taken curative walks, and where other statues of historic guests are located. The Russian businessman who is championing the project and who recently paid for the restoration of a bust of the Russian ruler in Karlovy Vary says he can't see what the fuss is all about and that a statue of Peter the Great would bring more tourists to the town. Local residents are not enthusiastic.
They should erect his statue in Russia, not here.
I guess it could be up for debate, but I really think rather not.
That appears to be the overwhelming opinion. According to an internet poll conducted by the Daily Mladá Fronta Dnes, over 1,500 Czechs say the statue of a Russian Tsar does not belong in the centre of Karlovy Vary. Over 150 residents said, why not? The town of Šachvice recently witnessed an unusual happening, the loading onto a truck of a stuffed elephant bound for Romania. The local taxidermist, who caters to hunters and fishermen, last year accepted a commission to stuff an elephant from Botswana and found that it was a tall order.
It was shot by a foreign client of ours who has a collection of hunting trophies. This elephant was hunted legally and there was a lot of paperwork involved, so the commission took over a year. The work itself is extremely demanding. It took half a year to tan the skin, which was then mounted onto a polyurethane model. The client was very particular and even sent us a photograph of exactly how he wanted the animal to look.
Radek Franz says he has stuffed a rhino, a hippo and even a giraffe in his time, but work on the elephant proved the biggest challenge of his 20-year career. Mounting the skin onto the 3.5-metre-high model took him and a team of helpers the better part of a week. Once the model was completed to their satisfaction, another problem arose.
We were in this funny situation. We were so engrossed in getting the model right that we didn't realize that there was no way we could get it out of the building. Of course, nobody was going to tamper with the elephant, so we got masons in to widen the doorway and make room for it to pass through. Originally, we thought stuffing the elephant was going to be the biggest challenge, but now I think delivering it might be even harder.
The 800-kilo model was eventually placed in a special container and delivered to its owner in Romania, where it will grace a private collection of stuffed animals. I hope you found something of interest there. I'll be inviting you to a fresh edition of Panorama, same time next week. Now we'll end today's show with another Czech lesson to pick up the odd expression or simply to enjoy. Today's lesson is with Christian Falvey.
Co to leze ze křoví? No tak honem, kdo to ví? Kdo jsou lidi zlatí, tři koule chlupatý, kdo pak aspoň napoví.
Hello and welcome to Soundcheck. We get into animals with interesting names in Czech, beginning with bears. And bears is the name of this lullaby by Jaroslav Samson, Medjovan.
Zaspíváme ve dvě dům, dobrou noc vyšel mi, nechlápejte velmi, nebo si zboříte dům.
The name of this children's song refers to the small, cute type of bear, medja, the cuddly kind that your child takes to bed, the big, hair-raising one that disassembles people who fall into their enclosures under Czech castles is medvěd. Even the big, hair-raising bear, though, doesn't escape a certain cuteness in Czech when you look at its name. At first sight, the word medvěd means honey-knower, which is for sure a perfectly reasonable name. According to at least one etymology, though, this is a confusion of the name medujed, or honey-eater. And according to yet another word history, the whole cutesy honey association is just a cover-up. According to this theory, the distant ancestors of the Slavs knew the bear by another, doubtless more grisly, name altogether. But speaking the word, indeed even thinking it, could summon the beast and get you eaten. Not an unimaginable idea, to be sure, since the bear is the biggest animal in Europe, and the once thickly wooded Czech lands used to be full of them.
Dobrou noc vyšel mi, nechlápejte velmi, nebo si zboříte dům. Lidi ani netuší, že jim kožich nesluší. Ať mrzne či leje, ví, že hezky hřeje, když mráz kouše do uší. Pak si v teple posedí, a tak ani nevědí.
But then Czechs follow a habit of naming animals in an explanatory way, or translating their names verbatim from Latin. I doubt, for instance, that Czechs or anyone else named the rhinoceros nose horn, nosorožec in Czech, because they feared to speak its real name. The same goes for the camel, which Czech conceives of as a big wanderer, velbloud, velký meaning big, and bloudit, to wander. No wonder, then, that putting vel, big, and ryba, fish, together gives you a whale, or velryba. So anyway, what's the brum brum you hear them singing in the song? That would be the noise that the honey knower eater makes in Czech. Accordingly, in addition to all his other names, utterable and unutterable, the bear has the nickname bručon in Czech, a big thing that growls, which you actually use more often in reference to anyone else who incessantly growls and complains as well. Czech children then use names for some animals based on what the animals say themselves. Our friend the dog, for instance, says huff in Czech, so children call him hufan. The same goes for peeping birds, especially hens, which children in the countryside especially call pipi. So much for the animal kingdom in Czech for today. Naschledanou.
Dobrou noc vyšel mi, nechlápejte velmi, nebo si zboříte dům. Lidi ani netuší, že jim kožich nesluší. Ať mrzne či leje, ví, že hezky hřeje, když mráz kouše do uší. Pak si v teple posedí, a tak ani nevědí, že než kožich čepice, že daleko více hřeje láska medvědí. Vrum, 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 o čem se zdáme vědu.
That edition of Soundcheck with Christian Falvey has brought us to the end of today's programmes. You'll find us online at radio.cz. All our programmes are there in text and sound, plus a lot of interesting information about the Czech Republic. Should you like to contact us, then our email address is english@radio.cz. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for joining us and take care.